Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
On a more serious note, I wanted to start off with, could we see Irish unity in our lifetime? In an interview with Sky News, Taoiseach Simon Harris said it was entirely possible that there will be a united Ireland in his lifetime, but he has said it's not a priority for his premiership. Last week, London-based advocates for Irish reunification gathered in Westminster to intensify discussions on the issue. The author and lecturer, Paul Breen, is here to discuss this with me now. Thanks for joining me. And I also want to get your thoughts, by the way, 0871880008. Would you agree or do you think it's time for a united Ireland? Let me know what your thoughts are. Good thing, bad thing. Let's hear the pros. Let's hear the cons. You can text or WhatsApp right now, 0871880008. Let me go to Paul Breen. Paul, good afternoon or good evening to you. How are you doing?
All right. Thanks, Niall, for having me on the show again. It's a great time to be talking about this issue. And I should say we do have a WhatsApp group for the Labour for Irish Unity group, but we won't ask you to join it or any listeners.
Oh, well, I think I'd be quite honoured to join that one, Paul, to be honest with you. Anyway, Paul, I mean, you were there reflecting on, I suppose, the preparations already underway, you know, in Ireland. And, you know, there was initiatives that were praised, such as Ireland's Future, which have successfully brought, you know, I suppose, the conversation about unity into public forums across the country. But realistically, how realistic is Irish unity? Because it is such a complicated issue. I think, unlike Brexit, and Brexit was difficult enough, we won't know for a long time whether it's been successful or not, but unlike Brexit, it's going to take a long time because there's so many things to change, so many things for people to get used to, and, you know, there's cultural identity involved in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose, naturally enough, it won't be an overnight process, and I think this was one of the reasons that we hosted the event last week in Westminster, where the idea was to try and give some momentum to the conversation around this, because there's never a good time to talk about Irish unity in Britain, particularly in political circles. So the idea here was to set some plans in motion for when we might realistically have a border poll and to see what the feeling is around that. But more importantly, I think to make sure that that border poll isn't as divisive as the Brexit referendum.
Or the border poll that took place in 73, which was quite divisive, by the way, which was boycotted by nationalists at the time.
Yeah, but I think we're in a very different place now because you mentioned about different groups like Ireland's Future. I think the language has moved more now towards a shared island, and there is more of a sense that we can have diverse identities and still claim to be Irish.
I spend most of my time in Northern Ireland, and what I have noticed is we don't just have loyalists and nationalists, or, you know, people who are Republicans or claim to be British or whatever it is, those identities. We have people now, young people, I'd say a third of the population, I'm going to guess, hazard a guess, who want to be Northern Irish. Do you understand what I'm saying? They neither claim to be Irish nor claim to be British. They're Northern Irish. And that almost suggests that maybe Northern Ireland would be better off as its own republic in some future or in some sort of identity. Now, I know that's probably not possible, but what I'm saying to you is they don't identify as either, many young people, and they don't have an interest in the politics of the past. You know, they look at that as something that was bad, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose I would definitely agree that there is very much a new sense of cultural identity amongst the young, and many of the issues that they are concerned with are obviously very, very different to what previous generations have been concerned with, because they are living in very challenging times. I mean, we see a lot of things that are happening in the world, and they face a lot of issues as regards, you know, affordable housing and getting jobs and so on. And certainly they do have a distinct identity as a generation in themselves, but I'm not sure that we can say that being Northern Irish or having a distinctively Northern identity means that they don't necessarily want to be part of United Ireland. What I think they do want is to have their own particular identity recognised, and they would definitely not want simply the North to be absorbed into the South as it is. So I think this is why we also need to have a conversation around what a new Ireland would look like, because as it is, there isn't really a framework there for those young people to look at and say, yeah, okay, I can definitely see what a shared Ireland would look like.
I mean, a united Ireland, I suppose, would reflect, you know, the shared Irish, as you just mentioned, heritage, language, cultural identity, you know, and get rid of all that kind of historical division, or kind of healing that division, I suppose. But here's the problem. If there was a referendum or a border poll and it failed, that could deepen divisions, regardless of the outcome, by the way. Maybe even if it went through, but regardless of it, it could actually deepen divisions. So it could have the opposite effect, couldn't it?
I would like to think that the border poll wouldn't be conducted in such a way that it would divide people. So it would be from the ground up rather than the top down, in the sense of, in order to have that discussion and in order to have the border poll, you have to start conversations. And the idea of starting those conversations as well is so that those groups that might not traditionally have felt that they have a part to play in United Ireland, that they could be part of shaping that vision. So, I mean, to get the unionist community talking, for example, about what they want and what they might hope to see. But also, again, you know, one of the advantages, I think, of a border poll as well is just to get these conversations going. So, a lot of people in Ireland's future, and, you know, Professor Colin Harvey, for example, has said this repeatedly, it's not about presuming that there's going to be any definite outcome from that border poll, but it's about getting people to engage with the issue of Irish unity. Because I actually think once unionists and people with a Northern Irish identity begin to engage in conversations about what a new Ireland might look like, they might actually realise how much we have in common. I mean, you know, I would tend to be quite interchangeable in my terminology around Northern Ireland, North of Ireland, whatever. And I think a lot of people are like that now. And again, going back to what I said, I don't want to see a situation where simply the North is quietly absorbed into the South or whatever. I do want to see a conversation with what the new Ireland
is. And you said you're interchangeable, but we have to respect there are many people, a percentage of people who are not interchangeable, and I don't believe ever will be. Now, don't get me wrong, I think that percentage is getting smaller and smaller as generations move on and as healing begins. But in saying that, for people who don't really understand completely how this is going to work or how it'll happen or how it's going to be triggered as part of the Good Friday Agreement, the explicit provision for holding a Northern Ireland border poll was made in UK law. So I'm assuming it's the Secretary of State, they kind of make the order in council enabling the border poll, which is just for Northern Ireland. For that to happen in the South, there has to be a referendum, which would be an ordinary referendum, as they call it in this country. Article 27, I think, would have to be called for Ireland to take part in that border poll, for the Republic of Ireland to take part in a poll. But from a Northern Irish point of view, how do you believe or how do you see that now being triggered?
Well, I think you've made a very good point. And it's a point that nobody in the movement for a border poll would ever dispute. And that's the fact that it is up to the people of Northern Ireland to decide on their future and not Westminster.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or not Leinster House either.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement, it is the Secretary of State who is responsible for calling the border poll. And the language around that is quite vague. But at a point in which it seems as if there is a demand for a border poll, then that's when it can be called. And at the moment, it is quite clear that there is a need to start having this discussion, because Sinn Féin are now the largest party in the North.
Only a only a short time, I suppose, you know, since February, since last February, since power sharing was restored. But the word, the wording is, you know, is quite specific. It says, if at any time it appears likely to him that a majority of those voting would express a wish that Northern Ireland should cease to be part of the United Kingdom and form a part of United Ireland. So that's quite specific. So that, I don't know how you get a sense of that, because the last time I remember looking at a poll, which was done by the Belfast Telegraph, I think, you're looking at 51 versus 50% constantly, all the time, in and around that. I don't know how much that's changed now. So it is kind of 50-50, isn't it, amongst those who who form an opinion?
Yeah, again, I would say that part of the problem with those polls and with the whole debate at the moment is that until there is actually a clear date in place, which would then create a mechanism for people to put forward more solid arguments, you're always going to have this vagueness, and it just leaves everyone in limbo. And again, you know, if you ask someone about whether or not they want a United Ireland in the morning, their first question is going to be, what's that going to look like?
Yeah.
And I think until we have a clear picture of when there's possibly going to be a border poll, nobody, possibly aside from Sinn Féin, are going to come forward and put proposals as to what that will look like. And again, this isn't a one-party issue. So all the parties on the island of Ireland really need to work together to present a vision of what a new Ireland will look like.
The main things people think about when we think about a United Ireland, or the main first questions people will ask, for example, is employment. A lot of people in Northern Ireland are employed by the state. Healthcare costs. What? Of course, Northern Ireland have the NHS, which is free healthcare. We don't. Generally, taxation. And then from a Southern point of view, the cost. Now, of course, the cost has been estimated to be somewhere between 16 and 20 billion goes into Northern Ireland from Westminster every year. I mean, I personally believe that Westminster probably think Northern Ireland is just a debt sitting there costing money constantly all the time. And maybe they'd be happy to see a border poll and take away that debt. So all of those questions have to be answered. And they're all really difficult tasks, because you're going to make people unhappy in Northern Ireland if you say suddenly you're going to have to pay to go and see a doctor. You're going to make people in the Southern Ireland very happy if we're all going to get free healthcare, but that's not going to happen because we don't have the money for it. So all of those things have to be discussed. And, you know, and they're all difficult things. The flag, the anthem, all of these things. And I know Sinn Féin did say the flag and the anthem were on the table, but all those things have to be discussed.
Yeah. The first thing I would say is, as well, of course, the NHS is absolutely one of the most positive aspects for anyone who believes in the union. And even those of us who are from, you know, a Northern Irish nationalist background, we can also see the great benefit. I mean, let's be honest about it. We have had the benefit of a very good education, very good healthcare. Unfortunately, though, what we are seeing now in the UK is a likely decline in our state. And so,
well, that may bounce back. I mean, we're seeing that decline because they're running low on money, and that's quite clear from the recent budget. But, you know, there is predictions by economists that they knew this would happen with Brexit initially, but it could take 15 to 20 years and that will recover.
Yeah, but I think there's also not just a change in the economy. I think there's also a change in the mindset. And increasingly, Britain does seem to be moving towards a more of a neoliberal American-style model. And I think that is something that is making a lot of the unionist population as well, and a lot of people on the British left, ask questions about where exactly Britain is going. And as such, I imagine that there are people who believe that even though perhaps at the moment Northern Ireland might be heavily reliant on the British state. If Northern Ireland were to be integrated with the Republic, that could have a lot of economic benefit as well. Because remember, a lot of services are duplicated, and also there are a lot of issues, you know, around things like tourism, for example, which could be developed in a completely different way in the event of...
That would be a major plus, by the way, because Northern Ireland is a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah. And there is probably still a lot that could be done, you know, around encouraging people to visit both parts of the island. But, I mean, tourism alone won't
No, they're not going to survive on that, alone. I mean, there is going to be an issue, obviously, with jobs, because, as I said to you already, Northern Irish people rely heavily on the state, because a lot of people work for the state. They work for the civil service or for the mainland civil service. Just finally, in relation to the comments by Taoiseach Simon Harris, who said, you know, it's entirely possible, but he said, you know, it's not his priority for his premiership. That kind of seems to rule it out for 5 years, doesn't it? Does that disappoint you?
Well, again, as I've said, the momentum for this really has to come from Westminster. And I also believe that Simon Harris probably has his own motives for saying that, in that we are in the run-up to a general election in which he probably doesn't want to make Irish unity one of the central issues, which then obviously he's going to be handing an electoral advantage to Sinn Féin. So I would actually think that, for the benefit of the island as well, it really is time that people stop playing party politics with this, because this is about the future of all the people on the island of Ireland. And I think the Irish government, really, whoever it is next week, have got to get it into their heads that they have to think here more strategically than just thinking in terms of strategies that will benefit their own parties, because this is an issue that really does need to be, it needs to be sorted now at a point where, you know, things, the demographics are changing. There is momentum around this. There's lots of discussions happening at an everyday level in, this is in the north, and there are community forums and so on. There are groups like Ireland's Future, and there's all this energy that can be developed in a positive way. So it really needs to be harnessed now. I would hope that whoever's in government, whether or not it's Simon Harris or Mary Lou MacDonald or whoever's in charge of Fianna Fáil at the time.
Micheál Martin.
In light of the coalition, whatever happens. Because I do think Fianna Fáil, one way or another, will be in charge, and then things take shape around who they go into coalition with. So I think...
Are you predicting, like I am, Micheál Martin won't be there next year to be running for president?
And hopefully, again, as I said, we will see a united Ireland in our life, but it will be a more shared island and a more pluralistic vision than we might have seen in the past.
Well, listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to leave it open to our callers now to have their opinion on it and whether they believe it's time or whether they believe it's a good or a bad thing. But I do appreciate you coming on to talk to us, Paul Breen. Thank you very much indeed.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.